जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी। गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन। यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरा ब्रजजनरंगनचारी यमुना तीरा वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा राम राम हरे हरे जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 जय जय प्रभुपाद
विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरित श्री श्रीमति शिवांग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की निताय गौर प्रेमानंदे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवतसेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी हरे कृष्ण सो वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 17 टेक्स्ट नंबर 34 यस्मिन् हरिर् भगवान् इज्यमाना इज्यात्ममूर्तिर्यजतां शं तनोति कामानमोघान् स्थिरजङ्गमानाम् अन्तर्बहिर्वायुरिवैषात्मा यस्मिन् हरिर्भगवानिज्यमाना इज्यात्ममूर्तिर्यजतांशं तनोति कामानमोघान् स्थिरजङ्गमानाम् अन्तर्बहिर्वायुरिवैषात्मा यस्मिन् हरिर्भगवानिज्यमाना इज्यात्ममूर्तिर्यजतां शं तनोति कामानमोघान् स्थिरजङ्गमानाम् अन्तर्बहिर्वायुरिवैषात्मा यस्मिन् हरिर्भगवान् यस्मिन् हरिर्भगवान् Yasmin, in such sacrificial ceremonies, Harihi, the Supreme Lord, Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead, Ijyamanaha, being worshipped, Ijyatma, the soul of all worshipable deities, Murtihi, in the forms, Yajatam, those who worship, Sham, welfare, Tanuti, spreads, Kaman, desires, Amoghan, inviolable, Sthirajangamanam, of all the moving and non-moving, Antaha, within, Bahihi, outside, Vayuhu, air, Iva, like, Eshaha, of all of them, Atma, spirit soul. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In all sacrificial ceremonies, although sometimes a demigod is worshipped, the Supreme Lord, Personality of Godhead, is worshipped because He is the super soul of everyone and exists both inside and outside like the air. Thus, it is He only who awards all welfare to the worshipper. Purport. It is even sometimes seen that demigods like Indra and Chandra are worshipped and offered sacrificial awards. Yet the rewards of all such sacrifices are awarded to the worshipper by the Supreme Lord. And it is the Lord only who can offer all welfare to the worshipper. The demigods, although worshipped, cannot do anything without the sanction of the Lord, because the Lord is the super soul of everyone, both moving and non-moving. In Bhagavad Gita 9.23, The Lord Himself confirms this in the following shloka. Yepyanya devata bhakta yajante shraddhayanvita tepi mameva kaunteya yajantya vidhipurvakam. Whatever a man may sacrifice to other gods, O son of Kunti, is really meant for me alone, but it is offered without true understanding. The fact is that the Supreme Lord is one without a second. There is no God other than the Lord Himself. Thus the Supreme Lord is eternally transcendental to the material creation. But there are many who worship the demigods like the sun, the moon and Indra, who are only material representatives of the Supreme Lord. These demigods are indirect, qualitative representations of the Supreme Lord. A learned scholar or a devotee, however, knows who is who. Therefore, he directly worships the Supreme Lord and is not diverted by the material qualitative representations. Those who are not so learned worship such qualitative material representations, but their worship is unceremonious because it is irregular. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pradakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radham Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gauravaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So I would like to seek the blessings of all the assembled devotees here. We are continuing with our discussion on the chapter Punishment and Reward for Kali. So this is the conversation between Parikshit and Kali personified. And Parikshit is describing how his glorious ancestry and how Krishna is worshipped. Krishna is the protector of the Brahmanas and cows, and he is defending his action, and he is about to punish Kali. So here in the purport, the verse is talking about how Krishna, the Supreme Lord, is the benefactor of everyone. No matter whom the person worships, whether indirectly through demigods or directly the Supreme Lord, ultimately the benefits one gets out of the sacrifice is coming from Krishna Himself. And Prabhupada is quoting that standard verse. Yepyanya devata bhakta. One who worships the demigods is indirectly worshipping Krishna. Avidhi purvakam is an incorrect method of approaching God. So when we have a direct access to Krishna and we adopt an indirect means, then that approach is considered, as Prabhupada says, unceremonious or irregular or incorrect. When we don't have access, and if we try to bypass the immediate authorities and try to directly approach Krishna. That is also irregular. One is expected to go through the proper channel. But for those who have direct access, if Krishna is giving us direct access through some certain means, then why go through indirect means? Like Prabhupada gives the example of elevator. If you want to go to the 100th floor, 10th floor, whichever floor, if there is an elevator, you go through the elevator. If the elevator is not working, then you have to go through the staircase. You can't jump directly to the 10th floor. So therefore, this approach by various worshippers through Indra, Chandra and other demigods is not appreciated by Vaishnava Acharyas. And as the Gita says in the 7th chapter, Yo-yo yam-yam tanum bhakta shraddhayarchitum icchati tasya tasya chalam shraddham tameva vidhamyaham. So Krishna says, I am seated in everyone's heart as a super soul. As soon as one desires to worship anyone, any demigod, even to worship anyone, you need faith. If you don't have faith that by worshipping this person, I am going to get my desires fulfilled, then I won't continue my worship. So the steadying of that faith is done by Krishna. Shraddhaya, tasya tasya achalam, achalam shraddham is made steady by Krishna. Tameva vidadhamyaham. Sataya shraddhaya yuktas tasya radhamihate labhate chatata kaman mayaiva vihitan hitan. After worshipping the demigod for a certain duration of time by following the proper methods, whatever benefits, the rewards one gets out of that worship, mayaiva vihitan hitan. Krishna says, I am the one who actually gives you, benefits. So for the worshipper, Krishna steadies the faith in the demigod. And for the demigod, Krishna supplies the rewards for the worshipper through the demigod. So it appears that the demigod is rewarding. But actually Krishna says, it is ultimately coming from me. So even for demigod worship to continue nicely, Krishna's help is needed. For the devotee, he studies the faith. And for the demigod, Krishna helps by supplying the ingredients for the devotee. That's how even the system of demigod worship, which Krishna himself instituted, ultimately Krishna only has to work towards maintaining it. Otherwise, if Krishna withdraws, then the worship will collapse. It cannot continue. So in the earlier days, whenever all these kings or sages would perform sacrifices, then that particular demigod Indra or whoever it is would personally appear oftentimes. Most cases they don't come, but in rare cases they would come and personally accept the offerings. So demigods coming personally is rare, but even more rare is Lord Vishnu coming personally. That is extremely rare. And if someone is performing a sacrifice and the Supreme Lord Vishnu comes, that is considered a really auspicious event, very successful event, very extremely rare. So here, Parikshit is talking about that Krishna is the ultimate enjoyer of all sacrifices. And everything that we do, yat karoshi yad ashnasi, everything that we do is ultimately meant for Krishna's pleasure. In one purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada talks about the attitude of people who worship various demigods. What impels them to worship a certain person? So it's a nice, interesting insight. He says, when the mode of goodness is mixed with the mode of passion, one worships the sun god, Vivaswan. Goodness plus passion, worship sun god. When the mode of goodness is mixed with the mode of ignorance, one worships Ganesh. When the mode of passion is mixed with the mode of ignorance, one worships Durga or Kali, the external potency. When one is simply in the mode of ignorance,
one who is driven by mode of ignorance completely, such a person is attracted to worshipping Lord Shiva. Not in every case, but usually. Because Lord Shiva is the predominating deity of those who are in the mode of ignorance. He elevates them easily. But, however, one who is completely free from all the influence of the modes, such a person worships Lord Vishnu in pure, unalloyed devotion. So, whoever is our role model, whoever is our worshipable hero, who we are inspired by, it all depends on which modes are influencing us. It's not just, okay, I like that person, I like this person, therefore I follow him, I worship him. The person who is our role model indicates who we are and what modes are constituting us and what inspires us to go behind that person. So one who is, when we change our modes, when the modes that influence us change by the practice of spiritual life, then our role models will also change. And eventually we will appreciate the worship of Vishnu and start following the worship of Vishnu. Therefore, pure devotional service is rare. Sudurlabha. Anya vilashita shunyam. It is very difficult for someone to give up all desires, all material desires, and exclusively worship with pure selfless desire. Only for the pleasure of Krishna or Vishnu. Because most people are driven by some desire. Our whole approach towards the material world is how I can get something, how I can enjoy. And whichever person is going to fulfill those desires, I will worship that person. Rare it is to find a person who has no desire. Only such a person will be attracted to worshipping Krishna. So, here we find in this section, especially in the whole first canto, beginning with the first chapter till the end, Prabhupada actually talks about the degraded influence of the age of Kali, how cow slaughter and all kinds of illicit activities happen. So, especially in this section, beginning with Parikshit's birth, until he meets Sukadev Goswami. Every purport is talking about the demonic, democratic governments and how people are engaged in all kinds of sinful activities and how a devotee can conquer the influence of Kali by following the process of bhakti. So in the first canto we find the sages of Naimisharanya. They are also bewildered. They want to counteract the influence of the age of Kali and they are requesting Suta Goswami to recommend a process. Kali Magatam Agyaya Kshetresmin Vaishnave Vayam Asina Dirga Satrena Kathayam Sakshana Hare. We have assembled in this place knowing well that the age of Kali has begun. And now we would like to hear at great length the message of the personality of Godhead. Because that is the only way we can counteract the influence of Kali. And then they say, Tvam na sandarshito dhatra dustaram nistiti irshatam Kalim sattvaharam pumsam karnadhara ivarnavam. We are requesting you to become the captain. Lead us in this process. Because we are in this age of Kali and Kali is Sattvaharam Pumsam. It steals away all the good qualities that can be found in a human being. That is the nature of this age. Even a person with all good intentions, when he is surrounded by temptations or unfavorable environment, he behaves in a way totally unexpected. Because all the good qualities are vanished. Sattvaharam pumsa. So Kali deteriorates all the good qualities. There's a nice prayer by Prabodhananda Saraswati, glorifying Lord Chaitanya. It says, Kalakkalirbalina Indriya Vairi Varga Shri Bhakti Marga Iha Kantaka Koti Ruddha Ha Ha Kwayami Vikalakkimaham Karomi Chaitanya Chandra Yadi Nadya Krupam Karoshi. So he's glorifying Lord Chaitanya as someone who can deliver us from this dangerous age of Kali. So this age of Kali, in this age our senses are very strong, easily pulled by various temptations. And the beautiful path of bhakti is filled with so many countless thorns and pebbles. Bhakti marga iha kantaka koti ruddha. Kantaka is thorns. There are so many thorns on the path of bhakti marga. Ha ha kwayami, where will I go? And what shall I do? Kimaham karomi. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, please deliver me today itself. Kripam karoshi. Please give me, shower your mercy upon me. So even if someone is sincere and eager to take up a spiritual path, there are so many obstacles that can deviate us, distract us, and we lose the way. We come with all good intentions, but then we get distracted. We were in Mayapur last month, and so many senior devotees spoke on various topics. And His Holiness Devamrat Maharaj was giving a nice class. He was talking about the ill effects of this age. Demonic governments and demonic leaders, what they do, what kind of strategies they adopt. So he was talking about how the scientists have devised a doomsday clock. So doomsday clock is a clock, it's a figurative metaphorical clock. If it is approaching 12 midnight, that's the end of the world. So how far are we, the world, currently we are living in? How far it is from midnight? So it was created by a bulletin of atomic scientists to illustrate how close humanity has come to the end of the world. So in 1953, when a hydrogen bomb was detonated, the clock was set 2 minutes to doomsday, 2 minutes to midnight. That's how close we were to end of humanity. Then the Cuba missile attack happened in 1962. Then they revised the time. It was 7 minutes from midnight. Slightly better. But then in 2020, it was reset again. The clock was 100 seconds from doomsday, from midnight. That's very close. And now with the Russia-Ukraine war, they say it is 90 seconds to midnight. 1.5 minutes to midnight. So, with all these, so many countries having nuclear weapons, our friendly neighbor has a lot of weapons, we also have a lot of weapons. You blow up any city, several cities, that's close to doomsday. So they say if we reach that midnight hour, then the whole human civilization will be extinct. That's what they said when they first devised the clock. But then in typical scientific fashion, they keep changing, right? So now they say, even if we approach doomsday, then human civilization won't become extinct, but there will be a lot of damage. It's close to destruction. Civilization will end. Human species may remain, but the whole civilization will be destroyed. So if a nuclear war happens between any two countries, say India and Pakistan put blast nuclear bombs on each other. Like when there is a volcanic eruption, what happens is all those smoke pile up in the atmosphere and that blocks the sun rays. So temperature actually goes down when there is a volcanic eruption. It becomes cold by a few degrees. So now they say if nuclear war happens and all these ash and smoke rise up in the atmosphere, the earth will be frozen to death. That's how it will block all the sun rays. They call it a nuclear winter. So that's how dangerous it is to go on a war with any country. You don't know, all the leaders are, like Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says, guided missiles and misguided men. Right? We are the most precise machines with all kinds of drones and other submarines. You program it, unmanned vehicles, program it sitting in one corner of the world, and then you can precisely hit a target with accuracy. And but the people who are controlling, how sense controlled are they? Missiles are efficient, but we don't have control over ourselves. So the nuclear bomb falls in the hand of some demon, some terrorists, then it's gone. So ideally it should be held by responsible people who will use it only when there is no other option. Like in the Mahabharata they find, Brahmastra is employed only when no other weapon can be used. So Arjuna was told to employ the Brahmastra because Ashwatthama had released the Brahmastra. And Krishna told him, now you have to release your Brahmastra to neutralize it. Otherwise Arjuna wouldn't have released it. Because we can manage with other weapons. Similarly, these weapons also, when they fall into the hands of irresponsible leaders, which is the case in today's times, most leaders are like irresponsible, have no background of spiritual training, spiritual vision. So then this is what is likely to happen. We will be closer and closer to midnight doomsday prediction. Devamrita Maharaj used to compare this with our Banasur. Krishna book, you find the story of Banasur. So Banasur had performed a lot of tapasya. He was the eldest son of Bali Maharaj. And he pleased Lord Shiva by his meditation and by his performance. And Lord Shiva awarded him 1,000 hands, 1,000 arms. And he would block rivers upstream. And it would cause floods. When he would release his hands, it would later cause floods. And he would enjoy looking at that. And he would perform, he would beat the drums and mridangas, and when Lord Shiva is dancing, he would entertain him with his instrumental performance. But then after some time, he felt, too many hands. What shall I do with all these? It's kind of a burden. So he asked Lord Shiva, you have given me 1,000 hands, but I don't know what to do with them. Maybe I should fight with you. He suggested to Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva understood his end is now near. He said, maybe I should kill you, he was thinking. But then he said, you will really find a match who can really fight with you very soon. And then that person will crush your pride. And then that incident of kidnapping of Aniruddha happened. Aniruddha getting married to Banasura's daughter, Usha. Aniruddha was kidnapped from Dwarka and brought back to Banasura's palace, and then he stayed with Usha, and then later Banasura discovered that Aniruddha is staying here with his unmarried daughter. And then the fight happened, and the Yadu army came, Krishna and all came, and then there is a fight, nice war, battle described between Banasur and Krishna, Yadu army. And finally, Krishna cut off all his hands. He didn't kill him. He released him with two or four hands. And that's how Banasur's pride was crushed. So in this case, modern leaders are like Banasur. Too many technological resources, scientific resources. But they don't know what to do with that. How to utilize them constructively for the welfare of the world. Too much khujli they have, and they want to employ it somewhere. What they do? If there is no qualified opponent to fight with, then they will use it against innocent people. Too many nuclear warheads, too many weapons, too many defense equipments. Every country is producing and selling. How long can they just keep on storing them? It will start itching. And then they will use it somewhere for no good reason. So that's how the modern demonic leaders are. Having no spiritual vision, they actually cause destruction of the world, destruction of humanity. So, like that famous story of Yudhishthir Maharaj, we find Yudhishthir Maharaj talking to that person who saw so many strange phenomenon. That elephant going through the needle and the fence trying to... That's our story, the standard story. So, elephant going through the needle, the head of the eye of the needle, but then its tail got stuck. So what do we understand from this? People can escape in this age of Kali. You speak big lies, you will go scot-free. Someone speaks a small lie, some small little crime, and they are caught. And they go to jail. You speak big lie, boldly, big enough, loud enough, no one will question you. We have all these conspiracy theories about the moon landing and 9/11 attack. They say it's a conspiracy. It was all planned thing. The moon, whether they really went to the moon, Prabhupada says they didn't really go to the moon. But then everyone accepts we all went to the moon. It could be a big lie. It was such a big lie that we can't believe it never happened. And similarly, the 9/11, it says the US government did it, conspired to do it, because they wanted to attack the Middle East. They had some agenda. But then, now it is like a standard truth. So many such theories, big scandals happening, and then it is passed on as truth. So that's the nature of this age. Elephant, big lies get passed. Small lies get caught. And the last person who, the sadhu comes with a small thread. There is a huge rock, boulder. No one is able to move it. Sadhu comes with a small cloth, small thread. And then he easily moves the thread, easily moves the boulder. So that indicates how Kaler Doshani Dehe Rajan Asti Hyeko Mahan Guna. Kali was an ocean of faults, but no other solution, no other method of spiritual discipline is going to work to solve the problems. Ultimately, the real solution lies in chanting of the holy name, taking shelter of the holy name. With that, one can easily cross the ocean of material existence, just like we can cross a puddle of water contained in the hoofprint of a calf. Samashitaye padapallava plavam Mahat padam punya yasho murare bhavam budhir vatsa padam param padam 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 yat param padam padam yat vipadam natesham. That's how easy it becomes when we take shelter of Krishna's holy names. And Prabhupada tells a nice story about this big lies. Elephant passing through the eye of the needle. So there was this one boy who was writing an examination. And there was a question on who is Haridwar Bastha? Who is Haridwar Bastha? This boy had no clue who is Haridwar Bastha. But he had to write something. So he writes. It's interesting. Very funny. He says, Haridwar Bastha was a dobendi lactalized by the plactony of Tinda. Who is Haridwar Bastha? A dobendi lactalized by the plactony of Tinda. And he wrote in the entire answer paper. The examiner saw, the paper checker, the teacher saw this, and he said, there's no sense, it makes no sense. Who is Haridwar Bastha? But then he thought, to write even this, you need creativity. You have to be, imagine nice words, create new words. And he wrote the entire paper like this. So appreciating his creativity, the teacher gave him passing marks. So Prabhupada says, this is how people write all these novels and fiction and all these books. It's all word jugglery. There's no substance there. But then you present it in such a fashion, attractive fashion, people think, this is really good. Big lies. Big lies presented in an attractive fashion. It sells. Haridwar Bastha story. So in the 12th canto we find, there are so many descriptions of the age of Kali. It says, one verse says, Pumsam Kalikritan Doshan Dravya Deshatma Sambhavan Sarvan Harati Chittastho Bhagavan Purushottamaha. In the Kali Yuga, three things are polluted. Objects, places, and individual personalities. All three are polluted. Pumsam, Kalikritan, Doshan, Dravya, Deshatma, Sambhavan. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, however, can remove all such contamination from the life of one who fixes the Lord within his mind. So everything in this age of Kali is degraded. We cannot expect purity. Ingredients are impure. Places are impure. People's minds and thoughts, consciousness is impure. So where do we find hope? Only when we fix the personality of God within our heart, then everything becomes sanitized, pure. Bhaktivinoda Thakur warns us about Kali Chela. Even people who appear like sadhus, they could be Kali Chelas, he says. Eta Eka Kali Chela Nake Tilaka Gale Mala. Someone put Tilak Kanti Mala, but then he could be Kali Chela. That's dangerous. Someone is not putting Tilak and Kanti Mala, we understand, okay. He may not be a devotee, we keep safe distance. But someone who disguises as a devotee, then you are off guard usually. So Prabhupada writes in one place about Kali Chela. He's quoting Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described them as disciples of Kali. He indicates that there is another Vaishnava, a pseudo Vaishnava with Tilak and Kanti Mala around his neck. Such pseudo Vaishnava associates with money and women and is jealous of successful Vaishnavas. Although passing for a Vaishnava, his only business is earning money in the dress of a Vaishnava. Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore says that such a pseudo Vaishnava is not a Vaishnava at all, but a disciple of Kali Yuga. A disciple of Kali cannot become an Acharya by the decision of some high court. Mundane votes have no jurisdiction to elect a Vaishnava Acharya. A Vaishnava Acharya is self-effulgent, and there is no need for any court judgment. So Prabhupada was going through a lot of challenges in those times. You know, his godbrothers criticizing him, no support from anyone, even Indian government officials, his Gaudiya Math godbrothers, no one supporting him. In fact, they were trying to put obstacles in his preaching mission. So in those times, he writes these kind of purports. Sachinandan Maharaj writes in his book about the dog of Kali. The song is there. Kali Kukura Kadan Yadi Chao He Kali Yuga Pavana Kali Bhaya Nashana Shri Sachinandana Gao He. So this desire, material desire, is all influenced by the age of Kali. And until we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, Gauranga, Jai Shri Sachinandana Gao He. Only that shelter, calling out earnestly Lord Chaitanya's name, can actually crush, destroy this dog of Kali. Today's time, dogs are like very respectable animals, but in some cases, in some sections of scripture, we find dog is a condemned animal. People may take offense in today's times if you condemn a dog. But then in other places, dogs are glorified also. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, let me become a dog in a Vaishnava home. Out of his loyalty, faithfulness. So therefore in this age, the only hope is the holy name. And taking shelter of the holy name. Radha Gopinath Prabhu talks about the why, what's and how's of holy name. So what do we chant? We chant, Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. Purna Shuddho Nitya Mukto Bhinnatva Nama Naminu. That's what we are chanting daily. Nama Chintamani. It is a desire stone. Can fulfill all desires. Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It can fulfill all desires. It is full of relish and taste. That's what we are chanting every day. 2 hours, 3 hours, 16 rounds. If we are conscious of what we are chanting, then we will better appreciate it. Then why do we chant? Chaito darpanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. To cleanse our hearts, mirror of the heart, and to vidyavadhu jivanam. The transcendental knowledge will awaken in our heart. That's the reason why we are chanting. If you are not conscious of these reasons, then our chanting becomes mechanical. And then we may fall asleep or we may get distracted. So what we are chanting, why we are chanting, we should be conscious. And how to chant? Trinadapi suni chena tarorapi sahishtuna. Being humbler than a blade of grass, being more tolerant than a tree, offering all respects to others without expecting any respect in return. In such a state of mind, we can chant the holy name constantly. So, let us take advantage of this most merciful form of Krishna, the holy name. That's the only way we can counteract the evil influences of the age of Kali. Otherwise, we become victimized by the dog of Kali and Kali Chela. Sachinandan Maharaj talks about how Kali has infiltrated even our devotees. Although with all good intentions we join the movement, but then we get distracted by so many temptations and then we become agents of Kali. Instead of becoming agents of Krishna and agents of Vaishnavas, unknowingly, involuntarily we may become agents of Kali. And instead of promoting the mission, we become stumbling blocks for the mission. Therefore, we have to guard ourselves from all these evil influences by taking shelter of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Jai Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Yeah. Any thoughts, any comments, anyone wants to add? Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.